Jesus goes to Galilee, and he finds Philip. He tells him the truth, and he calls on him to follow him. And Philip, we are told, believed what he said and followed him. He would become one of the 12 apostles. But Philip, we are also told, having been found by Jesus, now goes and finds Nathanael, telling him what he has seen and heard. As Philip says in verse 45, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And on the one hand, Christians, this makes perfect sense. People who are excited about something are often quick to tell others. They want to let them know about this thing that they have experienced so that others may experience it for themselves. "I found the most amazing thing," people say, "and I think you should try it. I've really enjoyed doing this thing, and I think you would enjoy it too. I've been doing this one thing different, and it's changed my life." And so Philip, excited as he was, quickly goes to tell Nathanael because he wants to share with him his enthusiasm for Jesus. But on the other hand, Christians, this is more than just being excited. Jesus is not just some new big thing. Rather, Philip found the one who is the long-promised Messiah. Philip found the one that Moses had been pointing toward for so long. Philip found the one that the prophets had written about, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And so Philip tells Nathanael all of these things out of joy and out of faith. And he tells him these things out of a deep desire to point him to the truth of God and the truth of his word. It's as if Philip had said, "I have found true peace, true contentment, true joy. His name is Jesus, and I want you to know him too." Now, Christians, this is often what it means to share the truth of the gospel. I think too often we get it into our heads that sharing the gospel is like being up on stage, getting into some big argument with another person, getting into this big public debate that I'm doing all that I can to try to convince this other person that I'm right. And since most people don't like talking in public, they shy away from it, wanting to remain quiet instead. But Philip shows us what happens more often. Others see what we're doing. They see our peace and our joy. They see our zeal and our enthusiasm. And they wonder where it all comes from. And they ask where it comes from, which means we have an opportunity to point them to Jesus. And coming to know Jesus also fills the believer with joy, a joy that moves them to tell others. It's like telling a secret for everybody to hear. Like, there's this free stuff that's being given away down at the store, and I think you should hurry up and go there too. That sort of thing. It becomes a spontaneous thing. We come to know Jesus, and we want others to know him too. But Nathanael, for his part, is not so quickly convinced. Yes, he hears everything that Philip says, but he only says in reply, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Now, what does he mean by that? Well, on the one hand, he means that he's not sure about the truth of what Philip says. I mean, that's a pretty big claim to make, to say that the one promised by the Old Testament is now here. It's not something that just happens every day. So how can you be so sure that this is actually it? But on the other hand, he also means that he's doubtful because of Nazareth. Can anything good come from there? In other words, why Nazareth? Nazareth was not a major city in the Old Testament. It's not one that shows up in the prophecies. As the Pharisees will later say in John 7 in response to the crowd, "Are you from Galilee too? Search and see that no prophet arises from Galilee." Nazareth in Galilee was the middle of nowhere, home to people who talked funny. It was not the kind of place you would expect God to do anything. So how can you say that this great thing comes from there? But Christians, we should not be too hard on Nathanael. For one thing, he's not that unusual. Plenty of people have this or that objection to the gospel too, whatever it may be. Sometimes it's a hard objection, like wondering why the Bible says what it says, or claiming that the Bible's in conflict with what we now know. And sometimes it's a soft objection, some bad experience that soured them to the whole thing, or taking offense at the hypocrisy of Christians. Whatever it may be, it prevents them from listening to what you have to say. So they don't want to accept it. They choose to turn away instead. And in reality, Christians, we also can struggle with this. Because when I mentioned earlier that peace and joy are often the best way to share the gospel, I wonder how many of us stopped and asked ourselves, or said to ourselves, "Well, that's not me. I often wrestle with doubts and anxieties. I often wonder if I'm really feeling that peace which passes all understanding. I'm filled with fears. I still struggle with my sins. And it scares me to tell others about Jesus. So how can I spontaneously share these things? I'm not sure what to do." But notice that Philip does not get into a long argument. And he certainly doesn't beat Nathanael over the head. Rather, he answers him with three simple words. "Come and see." It's as if he said, "I know that you're struggling with this. I know that you have doubts. But what better way to answer your questions than to come and see for yourself? Come and see Jesus. Come and hear his voice. Come and ask him yourself, and you will find the same peace and the same joy that I have in him." You see, Christians, objections are most often only excuses. People don't want to come, and they cover over their unwillingness with something else, whatever it may be. But if they would only come to Jesus and see these things for themselves, all their objections would melt away. And in reality, it's the same for us as Christians. When we are struggling with doubts and fears, when we are feeling anxious and uncertain, when we're not sure if we have that peace and joy, Philip's invitation is the same for us. Come and see. Come and hear his voice. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And in Christ, we will find all the answers that we need. In Christ, we will find the certainty that takes away our doubts. In Christ, we will find the peace that takes away all of our fears. And in Christ, we will find the excitement and the zeal that we fear that we have lost. Because Jesus is our joy. Jesus is our confidence. And Jesus is our zeal. So come and see. Whether for the first time or for the 100th time, come and see. And having seen Jesus for yourself, call others to do the same. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, open our eyes to see your Son, Jesus Christ, both now and forever. In his name we pray. Amen.